So I'm here in Boumbourie with Véronique Le Sergent, and you are an authoress, a painter, and
A lecturer.
A lecturer.
And I play music as well.
And you play music.
Mm-hmm.
And you play
the cello and the piano.
Okay. So tell me, because you just published your first book.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's a very long story because I used to be an English teacher and I was very, very busy. 30 years ago, I received from a member of my family many, many documents, historical documents about an ancestor we had who lived in the 12th century. His name was Miles de Cogan, and his father was Norman. Then he went to Wales, and my ancestor, Miles de Cogan, worked for King Henry II because he needed knights to settle peace in Ireland.
Right.
Because in those days it was Ireland was made of several kingdoms and they were fighting each other. So he fought all his life, and he was given a large piece of land around Cork and Lismore. Oh. And unfortunately for him, he was murdered in an inn along with five other knights. And we don't know exactly why and who ordered the murder. So I didn't want to write a historical book because I don't feel legitimate to do that. I'm more interested in literature, so it's a sort of historical novel. And inside there's a prophecy. So it is going to be followed by the second book, which will take place in the 18th century, yes, and it will start in Versailles, because I worked in Versailles as a teacher. And the third book, which is not written yet, the second is, but not the third, will take place in Brittany. It will start with, well, I shouldn't say it already, because it's kind of secret, you know. but it will. My father was from Auray, and by a strike of luck, I met a lady in Auray, who owns a manor. And, well, I don't want to say more, but
okay,
it will be a sort of travel back in times.
Great.
Starting from the 1950s back to the 18th century and back to the 17th century, because my ancestors came back from Ireland to Auray, and then still further on, back in time in the 13th century, to know why he was murdered in 1182.
Extraordinary tale. I mean, how have you managed to put together the piece? How much of it is based on these documents, and how much of it is beautiful fiction writing?
Well, I was given documents, the family tree, extracts from documents from Cork University. And then as time went on, there were more and more historical elements on the internet. So I grabbed things here and there. And also, I wanted to make sure that I was keeping with the times. So I made a very, very long, thorough researches on what life was like back in that time,
right,
to know what a knight was expected to do, to know the Plantagenet empire, etc.
Mm.
So it meant a lot of researches.
A lot of research.
And then, you know, it's my part, I would say, well, there is a thread, so to speak. But my part is, when I write, it is as if I was somewhat guided. Maybe would do that, my ancestor would do that, would say that, and then another idea crops up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have read so many things about literature that naturally it comes,
yeah,
you know, sometimes.
So the book that you've just published is, if you like, the first volume
mm-hmm.
in a trilogy. It's going to be three
yes.
books. and covers the sort of known existence of this ancient relative of yours who was murdered,
mm-hmm.
who became a knight for Henry II and then was murdered in Ireland. Well, that alone, that's a Hollywood blockbuster.
It could be.
That sounds great. Okay. And presumably it's in French.
Yes, it is in French, but I have family in America. So maybe I will translate it into English.
That would be
English.
Great, because it sounds as if you would have a large audience for English-speaking people with the Irish connection, obviously.
Mm.
Okay, well, that's a great beginning to 2025 for you for launching the novel. Tell me a bit about your music.
Well, my music, it's very funny because I didn't like school when I was a child. I wanted to be a ballet dancer. And, for many reasons it was impossible. So I practiced a lot of sport instead. But I had this musical ear, I mm-hmm. think. It was deep inside. And I started playing the piano when I was about 14,
mm-hmm.
which is very late, actually. My mother used to play, but I didn't want my... I don't have a very good link with my mother, so you see. And so I started playing the piano when I was 14. I carried on all through my studies, and then when I was married with my children, I took lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say I have been playing the piano ever since I'm 64, so you see. And, it was very funny as far as the cello was concerned, because I love the sound of the cello. It reminds me of the voice,
the human. It is the closest instrument to the human voice.
It is the closest. So it was funny because when you start with the piano and then you carry on with a second instrument, it's quite different, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't have any problem reading the music,
right. But
the position, everything was so complicated. Yeah. And when I settled here after my retirement and my divorce, etc., I had this cello. I played for myself only about 2 years, and then I decided on my birthday to call a cello teacher. Mm-hmm. I found one, a very good one, in Vannes. So this is it, but I have to start it back, I would say,
okay.
because my position is not good. Mm. I have a very good earring, and that's about it.
And the painting?
Oh, the painting is a very complicated story, because I've always loved painting, and my stepmother... she was a painter. When my parents divorced, she taught me a bit, but she said that I had this in me. Sometimes it was shared between music and painting. So sometimes I did more paintings. I exhibited. I sold paintings, and it's difficult. I am a sort of jack of all trades.
Well, I think we had this conversation on the phone about Jack of all trades, and I think, you know, you mentioned the Renaissance, and I think there's actually nothing wrong with being a Jack of all trades, and I think it's a rather disparaging term.
Yes.
It could be that you're just multi-talented and that you're actually very good at all three things, you know, and I suppose generally in life we are not given enough time to master all three disciplines that we might be interested in, but... That doesn't mean to say we couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that since your retirement, you've certainly put a lot of time and effort into exploring all your talents. Veronica, I think we'll leave it there because that's been fascinating.
Just one thing to add, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
When I write poetry,
mm-hmm.
I can't write poetry in French, only in English.
Oh, that's...
So here, I'm just going to show you, I've got paintings...
Wow.
And poetry in English.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, so for radio, I'm going to describe what I'm looking at because you have no idea. There's a beautiful watercolour on the right-hand side of the page, of a sort of a seascape with hills in the background. There's a broken pier, and it's all very sort of washed-out colours. It's beautiful. And on the left is a poem. Well, thank you very much for talking to Spotlight on Brittany, and wish you luck with all your creative ventures this year.
Thank you.